You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
OMG, the O Mara Gale Radio Show, and I'm your host, actress, author, evangelist Mara Gale. I'm also the co-producer of STEM the Movement. It's a docudramedy film that has just been selected for not one, but two film festivals. More to come on that a little bit later on, but let me let you know something. You know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. Yes, I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point, so that you could make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation. It's a perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. I think if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up, speak up, or as my guest would say, get up and into the lives of others, we would experience a more productive world around us. And I am super excited to do part with my special guest tonight. Her name is none other than Dieta West, but most of us refer to her as Mama D, and that's not because of her age. That's because wisdom drips from her tongue like mellifluous honey. It flows simple and it flows real, and I'm so honored to not only know her as Mama D, but to also experience her gift. She's an evangelist, an author, a singer, an actor. She's a workshop facilitator, a conference, and a motivational speaker, and she travels around the world challenging others and motivating them to get up. And Get Up is the title of her book, so that's why we call this part two, Keep Getting Up. And tonight we're going to talk about quite a few topics tonight, but we're going to be transparent, and I believe the medicine that's inside of her and the ministry that's inside of her will bless you. So would you be so kind as to put your virtual hands together and welcome on to the conversation my sister friend, Mama D, Dieta West.
I can hear those virtual hands clapping right now.
Amen. I am excited that you're back on the show. Hi, beautiful.
I am so excited, beautiful, to be back, to hear your voice, of course, and then to be able to just drop a few more nuggets into those who are listening in right now.
Oh, well, we are excited because last time you shared such real and transparent stories, and there were cliffhangers. People were like, girl, but the cliff, though, when she talked about the cliff and how she talked about repenting to God, and then he spared her life. And for those of you who didn't get the memo, you might want to check out the podcast, part one with Dieta West. You can check out the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, as well as Google Play, because I'm not going to give it all away. I want you to go and get it for yourself because it was good and it was real and it was righteous. And so, Deanna, I want to start off tonight's conversation with a very simple, I want to pose something to you. Life after death of a spouse or a divorce or escaping physical or mental abuse, what would you say is one of the main ingredients, or what words of wisdom could you share with someone? Because I've met so many people who have went through a divorce, and sometimes they're just, you know, there's no pretty way to go through a divorce. It can be extremely painful and cause people so much destruction in its path. And then there's the loss of life or the death of a spouse, and some people just carry grief gracefully, and then others, it beats them down, and or a person escaping physical or mental abuse. And I know that you've had some experience with some of these subjects, so I'd love for our audience to glean and lean in on this conversation and hear some of your words of wisdom. The mic is yours. Take your time and break it down for the people if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind. The first thing I would say to those who, when I speak of life after death, meaning, you know, the death of a spouse and even divorce, you can feel like you're dying in the midst of the divorce. And of course, physical abuse is the one thing that you have to remember and to put in the forefront of your mind, is that I can live again. I can love again. I can get up from this place of despair. And of course, you have to grieve. I'm not saying that we need to brush the grief and the mourning of a loss of a spouse or the loss of or going through a divorce or an abusive relationship. And as you know from our first time together that I chatted a bit about abuse, that I had to you have to reach a place where, you know, after I finish grieving, and I can't be grieving 10 years from now, I got to get through the grieving process, and I have to do it quickly, especially, and I'm thinking in terms of those who really, you know, that God has his hand on your life, and he is a healer, and he wants us to move past our hurt so we can fulfill the calling on our lives, whatever those callings are, that we have to go through the grieving process, but don't stay there. Don't get stuck. It's better to go through than to get stuck. I've experienced in counseling or advising widows that, you know what, sometimes you can't stay stuck there. Your spouse would want you to live again. Your spouse would not want you to keep going back, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but keep going back to that grave, and you go back to a place of grief even 10, 15 years later as we go back and visit the grave. You have to let the flame of the joy and the peace that is handed to us, You have to get out of that place, get off of the street of the stress street of depression and going into that dark cave and continuing to go back. And the enemy would have you to go back and to bring things to your remembrance that would shut you down so that you cannot fulfill. I mean, I'm thinking about even a message that I'm preparing for this Saturday about knowing a prayer breakfast that I'll be speaking at, about knowing your purpose, and stop listening to the voices and allowing those things to abort your destiny and to abort. Yes, things will happen. Stuff happens, but you have to even stop listening. Sometimes your own voice will be one of the main voices that will sabotage what your purpose is. And you still have purpose after a divorce. You still have purpose after physical abuse. You still have purpose after you've lost that spouse. And God didn't say, okay, now your purpose went to the grave. Your purpose went to the divorce court. Your purpose is still in the hand of the abuser. You still have purpose. And so I would say to just speak to yourself and ask yourself the question, can these bones live again? You know, and you can say, Lazarus, get up. rise up, take off your grave clothes, and move forward. You know, I knew that after my physical abuse, and went through that, I could not stay in that place of despair because I wouldn't be married to, I'll even go so far as to say, I wouldn't have been married to the first husband that I had, nor the second one that I've been with for 38 years, if I had have stayed in that place of all men are alike, I am hurt, I'll never love again. I said, no, the devil is a liar. I will get up, and I will keep getting up, and I'll move forward because I love life, and I love me. And you have to love yourself and know that life after all of that, you're going to grieve. You'll go through it. It might rear its ugly head even years later when you're already in a place of joy. But you got to know the devil's description, his resume. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he does not want us to live and be prosperous in our health and even as our souls prosper. That's not on his agenda for us. So if I could
that right there, amen to everything that you just said, but camp out on the devil and kill, the steal, and the destroy. You know, I tell people he has one job. And that is it, kill, steal, and destroy. So we can't even be mad when he knocks at our door and invites us to dinner. It's up to us to turn the dinner invitation down, to turn the distractions down. You know, you were saying there were so many wonderful nuggets in that. You said, I can live again. I can love again. I can get up again. That means you took ownership. You took control of your destiny. You took control of the situation and made a declaration that, no, I'm not going to stay in there. And then you also said that you allowed yourself room to grieve, and you're telling our listeners and sharing with our listeners that there is a grieving process. Now, for you, you said you couldn't stay down and be there a long time. You wanted to make it happen, kind of let that process happen and then move on because there was a calling on you, your life. And you know, and I know, for the longer we stay in that place of doubt or destruction or devastation or even depression in some cases, the longer we stay there, the less likely we are to fulfill the call because we got to understand that to whom much is given, much is required. You said so much. And then, Mama D, when you talked about how the voices can sabotage you, I have a little phrase that I say, sometimes it's not the enemy, as in the devil, sometimes it's the inner me. Myself, and I. We'll beat ourselves up, have a little pity party, and I can camp out in that place called dysfunction, disappointment, or distraction. But you said don't allow your voice to sabotage you. Remind yourself that you still have purpose and that this death or this divorce or this abuse that took place is not a part of your future. It was something that took place, but it's not who you are. Mm-hmm. It's something that happened to you. And I love how you expounded upon those that, and you phrased it by saying, you know, you don't want to offend anyone, and I don't think what you were saying would have been offensive, but you were talking about don't keep revisiting the grave, and that's not physically not going to the grave, but you were saying in so many words, you're alive. Live the life that that late person wishes they were alive to live. You know, wishing that they had an opportunity to still fulfill their purpose and their call. You know, and so sometimes people lay down and want to die when their spouse passes away. And there's a time and a season for every activity is what I was hearing you say. There was a time and a season to mourn that loss. But you also have to know that God has called us to some greater things beyond that loss or that divorce or that abuse.
You just take your grave clothes off and you just, you know, you got to keep it moving. He has given us joy and beauty and peace, but really beauty for the ashes.
And when we think of death, you know, for the ashes in our lives, God says, I want to give you beauty for the ashes in your life. So let him give it to you. We have to let him give it to us. A lot of we ask for it, and we ask for so many things. But then once you ask for it, let God do it. Let him do it. Are you asking for real? Do you really want to get over that divorce? Do you really want to don't feel guilty because you want to move on because a spouse died. Don't feel guilty that you may even want to remarry. Some women get caught up into a place where they feel guilty that I can't love again. I can't have another man in my life. And that even goes for the woman who's been divorced. No, you stop beating yourself up, because then you're just as miserable. You're still sleeping with his handkerchief. I'm not trying to be funny or anything, but you know, keep his clothes hanging up in the closet. Why? And when I say I don't want to offend anyone, it is time in life. It's time to move on. You know, you're grieving. You know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Hallelujah.
So it's time for your mourning, MOURNING, to come to an end. And it's time for you to wake up in the morning, MORNING, and start a new day with a fresh oil. And so I say that with Noam. Yeah, I know what loss is. I've not lost a spouse, but I've lost family, mom, dad, brother, nephews. I've been through divorce. I know what that feels like. It is so painful. And I thought I was going to die. I've been through abuse. So I'm not talking from a place of, well, I don't know what, you know, how some people try to tell you something and you can't tell me anything unless you've been through it. Have you been through through abuse? Then how can you tell me, how could you allow someone to hit you? Well, it happened and I got caught up in that. How can you tell me something that you have not experienced? So, again, I say I come from a place of experience with loss in my life.
And that's why I knew our audience needed to eavesdrop on this conversation. But I'm going to go ahead and do a little station identification. For those that are out there, you're listening to OMG, the Old Mara Gayle Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gayle. And my special guest today is none other than Mama D, who is Dieta West. And she works for Up TV. She's also an actress. She's an evangelist, speaker, author, and she travels around the world. And her book is called Get Up, and tonight's show is Keep Getting Up. We are under the umbrella of Up to Me Radio, and so that's what you're tuned in on right now. And we also have podcasts available. I'm going to share some information, but we're going to take a real brief break. And then when we come back, we're going to weigh in on the next phase of our conversation, because we've got some nuggets for you, and I want you to get all that we've got. So stay tuned by tuning in, leaning in, and listen up. We'll be right back.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Welcome back. My name is Mara Gayle, and you're listening to OMG, the Old Mara Gayle Radio Show. And my special guest tonight for part two is Dieta West. We had her on for part one, so you've got to tune in to the podcast and check that out a little bit later on. But this is part two, Keep Getting Up. And Dieta, I would love to find out what your thoughts are on what you would say to a wife who is carrying most of the financial weight. I've met quite a few ladies who say, you know, they trust the man that they married. He is, you know, or had been, you know, the provider, or, you know, they were co-partnering in that thing. And then for some reason, something happens or goes on, and the wife ends up carrying most of the financial weight. What would you say to that wife who's in that particular situation?
Well, I would say to the wife, you have a few dynamics going on here. If you are the wife that has the husband who is really sitting up on his behind and not making any efforts to go. We know it's hard to find jobs. It's very difficult for our men. But if you have a husband that is just sitting on his behind and not in any way trying to make any effort to do, there's some issues and some challenges that you definitely, the both of you, need to talk about. You need counsel. He needs to understand, especially if you're miserable. Now, some women say, well, I don't mind as long as he, you know, he's there. Some of them could, as long as I got a man, and I don't mind doing that. That's one thing. But if you are a woman that is struggling, you know, the Bible says a man, if you don't work, you don't eat. And I think the problem is if you married this man and he was already trifling when you married him, then you sort of set yourself up for this. You know, that's why it's important in your dating time when you're with him, you've got to check out all aspects and know that what you see that may not look so good in the dating, I don't think that you need to think that you're going to be able to change something after you get married to him. I believe Mama Maya Angelou said, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important. So because I hear many of them say, well, he won't even get up. I come home. He's not even, the house ain't clean and sitting around all day, or you know, maybe he went and hanging with his homies or whatever. And he's and I asked, okay, now was he working? Did he have a job when you guys were dating? No, but you know, I figured since I'm like, okay, then we got a whole nother issue. That's one thing.
Yeah,
that's a resolve that the two of you need to talk about. And well, that's a whole nother story. The
right.
other piece is if you have a mate who had doing well, and like you said, something happened that he lost a job, got laid off, a company was sold, and that this husband is trying, and you know, you see him getting up, putting his suit on, his resume. I mean, you can work with. That's what I call when you're working together in a marriage, and you can work together when you know, and he's also contributing. When he contributes, he may not have the finances at this season in your life, but he is making sure the house is clean when you come home. And if you have kids, he's making sure he's picking up the kids from school. He's making sure that they're doing their homework when you walk in at 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. If he can cook or rather he can't, he's trying to do, that's a different situation. And I know women who are okay with it. Then you fast forward to, we'll share with my life. Like, cause I'm, you know, I'm transparent. My husband is a school teacher, and school teachers don't get paid no money to take care of all y'all's children and baby, you know,
okay.
basically, you know, they don't get. So he, you know, he has a steady job. He, and I make more than him. And this is not, I don't want to come off as being boastful. The challenge in our marriage is because he would want to be doing more so that there would not be a dependency on my paycheck. So his heart, any challenges that we have in reference to that finance area, it's not brought on by me. It's brought on by him wanting to not only to be the head of his household, but also the provider, that if I said tomorrow I don't want to work anymore, he can feel comfortable with that. I've been working all my life. I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't working. You know, it would be uncomfortable. I think it's important for those women who are, you're okay with what's going on. You might be carrying the weight. Continue to be supportive. If you are happy and you still know there's a challenge, as long as you all are talking about it, talking through it, and he is making every single effort, and of course prayer, pray without ceasing. You all know that God can do some interesting things with resumes, and I believe that. And if your resume is at the bottom, he can for some reason get it on top of the stack. then, and I don't know if I'm really answering it, but it is, I think we sometimes, women, those of us who are making more than our, we hold that, some of us hold that and dangle that over his head, and it causes him to feel less of a man than what he's already feeling right now, because no matter how hard he tries, he can't find a job, period. Find a job is hard, and then he has to hear his wife beating him over the head. I believe they're trying, Mara. I believe that we need to try to hang in. That's what being working together is all about. It's another thing when he's not trying and he's sitting on his behind and trying to have an attitude with you about being too tired.
Right.
When he wants you to touch him. When he wants you, I'm tired. You've been home all day. Yeah. Now I got to come in and try to cook and do this and do that.
Clean.
And you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Did I answer? Did I touch on
anything? No, you totally answered. I mean, there's a couple of different dynamics. If you marry someone who wasn't working when you marry him and he seemed to be lackadaisical, and that's the nice way to put it, then you pretty much signed up for that. You pretty much signed up for that, and you can't expect a person to change now that you got married and now that you've expressed your frustrations with his laziness or lackadaisical attitude. Because if you've married into that and you didn't have a plan, then you plan to fail anyway. However, you're also saying for those women who happen to partner and or marry someone who's a planner or self-starter or was in school or still in school or has a position or works has a career choice that may not financially provide everything that you may need in the household, that you can't belittle him. I believe, you know, that women need love and affection, and men need love, but they also need respect. And so there's that. If you've married a person and they are worthy of your respect, you know, meaning it's a person that is hardworking and or he's lost his job or some unforeseen circumstance or situation took place, you cannot disrespect him because you happen to be in this particular hour the breadwinner or bringing in more money than he is. There's a couple of different dynamics. And I believe that sometimes women can make a man feel really bad when they earn more than him or bring home more than him. And sometimes men can make women. You know, it could go both ways, where men may make a woman feel like she's beholden to him because he's the one bringing in the income. Marriage is a partnership, you know, and it really shouldn't be about who brings in the most. It should be about a team building something.
Exactly.
You know, you work for your boss and you go in every day and work those 40 hours and you never think about the fact that your boss at your job may clock 3 or 4 or 5, 10 times more than you do. You go in and you do your work for those 8 hours and you do it prayerfully to the best of your ability. So thank you so much for, yes, you did answer that question. You truly answered that question. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear a question from you. Our phone number is 347-324-5246. Again, that 324-5246. Of course, you're on with me, Mara Gale, and my special guest today is Deetta West, and the topic today is actually get up, keep getting up, and whatever that means for you. If that's a financial situation, if that's get up after the loss of a job or a divorce or a spouse or mental abuse, or physical abuse, get up. Know that there's something that God has in store for you. He wants to give you those beauties for ashes. Okay, so I've got another question that I'd like to ask you, Deetta, because I believe this is it is a common threat to relationships and marriage and business partnerships. I'd like to ask, can we talk to each other and not at each other? Do you, A, think it's possible? And I already know the answer to that, but I'd like for you to expound upon it. And then what do you think it requires of us to be able to talk to each other and not at each other?
It requires us to listen. We have to listen to each other. And we've all experienced it. I even in my 38 years of marriage, I still experience my husband talking at me and not to me. And the at me comes when he's reflecting back on something that maybe I'm a little off. I'm not the perfect wife, a little off. So you, instead of you just saying, okay, let's talk about this again, blah, blah, blah. But you at me like, bap, 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 bap. And there's no words. I can't get a word in edgewise to try to figure out now what caused that thing to come back up to ignite that past thing that I thought I had kind of gotten rid of. So we need to talk to each other. And it is possible, but you have to have two people that are communicators. The problem lies when you have one that is not a communicator, and I know many women have complained about the fact that you have the man, the husband, that will just sit and look at you, look through you, and after you've expressed your heart, you want feedback, mm-hmm. you want to hear his yeah. heart, and they're looking at you, and it's like, okay, well, that's just how you feel. Okay, well, can you, yeah. I know that's how I feel, sir, but can we kind of talk about this, and maybe you can express to me, you know, well, no, if that's where you yeah. feel, that's where you feel, I'm going to bed, you know. That, yeah. That's a non-communicator, and then you're always, the woman is always feeling like she has to initiate the conversation, and when yeah. she does it, she's so angry and resentful, and really at that moment, I really don't like you right now, husband. I don't like you today. In fact, I don't like you. I haven't liked you for the past 6 months. I've just been tolerating you, you yeah. know, but
it causes a bunch of stuff to come out that's not necessary.
Right.
Because
right.
if you don't communicate, or if you refuse to communicate, you're communicating something. So you
right.
may not be verbally communicating, but you're basically saying, I'm not interested in what you have to say, or what you have to say doesn't have value, or I don't want to hear it.
Right. And each person has to not, in the talking to each other, you cannot go on the defense when there is something that either your husband is trying to express to you, well, I feel this way when you do this to me. Well, I don't know why you shouldn't feel that. I don't know why you should feel that way. Cause blah, blah. No, he just told you what makes him feel or react a certain way to you, and you're just going off instead of letting him finish what he has to say, and not yeah. thinking that us girls, that we all perfect and we got it all together, because we don't. And that's sometimes why the husbands have the tendency to shut down on us, because they say, you're not going to listen to me anyway, so you're telling me to express my heart to you, and I'm trying to express to you to tell you that you've been cooking greens with neck bones in it, and I really don't like them, but I've just been eating them because I don't want to hear your mouth.
You
but
better
now
treat.
Today I'm telling you that I would rather have smoked turkey in my greens instead of that. And when I tell you that, instead of you saying, oh, honey, okay, well, I'll fix that, you say, well, you should have said that before. Why didn't, don't go back to the why didn't I tell you. Go
yeah.
back to now we're talking to each other right now. If I tell you
yeah.
that I don't like you to touch my hair, because
yeah.
I just, yeah, when I first come out and have it all pretty and stuff, you know,
yeah.
then hear what I said. Don't touch my hair. So, and then,
you know, these are black woman woes. These are our black woman woes. When we come back from the beauty shop, that is not
right.
the time. No, now there's two sides to that coin, because we do like our hair played with, just not right.
right.
In that particular moment, let me
right.
let it be cute just for a little bit, because we sit in the
right.
beauty shop for quite a while, and we really
good
don't
Lord.
Want to mess up like 10 minutes after. We're going to pass a collection plate on
right.
the hair. We're going to pass a collection
right.
plate on the hair. But you know what?
Right.
Let me jump in a little bit and piggyback on some things that you're saying. You know, there's also a way to communicate with meaning a tone, you know, and you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the five love languages. I absolutely adore the five love languages, but there's a
mm-hmm.
way to communicate with men that is extremely different than how we as women communicate with one another. You know, the pitch and tone in which you speak to a man cannot be all high and girly and really shrill all the time, because that is not a sound that's really pleasant to a lot of men. The harshness or the attitude sometimes that's put on a conversation, I found the best way to get a man to not hear you is to do exactly what we're talking about, speak at him, but speak at him not just by not paying attention and listening, but speak at him by saying it in a harsh way or in harsh tones or in a very aggressive fashion. My mom or my grandmother, you say, actually, you can catch more bees with honey than you can with salt. And I used to be the woman who would verbally castrate Mandietta. Oh, my goodness. I was horrible. It was horrific. It was a nightmare on steroids. But I found that not only did not show the man that I respected him, but it made me look bad. Who am I that I can't control my tongue and have a conversation with someone instead of speaking down or condescending to someone? Mm-hmm. I can't call myself a child of God who I'm walking the word and going to hear the word every Sunday. And that goes not just to talking to and at each other in terms of relationship, but that also goes for how we deal with kids. I mean, I've seen parents verbally annihilate their child as if the kid just sold crack cocaine on a corner. I mean, have tongue lashed them, and it shows such a sign of ignorance to me. That's just me. When a parent can't control their anger and frustration and tongue to the point that they've deduced a 6-year-old kid or an 8-year-old kid to be a common thief on the street. I think that is the absolute worst, and I've seen it, and it breaks my heart.
It breaks my heart. We need to get our emotions intact, because you're really screaming. You're not really – it's not about what that child just did. You're already annoyed or pissed off about something else that has nothing to do with that child. So you're lashing out and, just like you said, just talking down to them and abusing them verbally. You didn't even have to whoop them. We abuse folk more with the words that we deposit into their spirits more than we do anything else. And then again, there may be some wives or people listening right now that are saying, well, why does it always have to be me? Why do I have to be the one that makes it okay, or makes it, I have to talk this way to him? And we have to understand that we are, as women, are, if you really knew the tools and the power of who you are, and how you can make or break any situation, and how you can control. We as women are powerful. God made us fearfully and wonderfully. It says in the Bible, it talks about being the weaker vessel. But do you understand that when we are weak, He is made strong? It doesn't mean that you're weak-minded, that you weak physically. Well, you are weaker than a man. We just get it. I mean, some of us think we can beat down a man, but a man is pretty much, unless he's just a little man and you're a very, very big woman that can beat him down, but we are not as strong in that respect. But you can control the conversation, just like you said, Mara. It's the way you present it. We don't have to always go on the defense and rolling our necks and our eyes and putting. You can sit down and you can pretty much have him eating out of your hands if you know how to do. And you can pump a man up. So we're giving him some of our secrets. You can pump a man up so that he will feel charged up to get up tomorrow morning. I'm going to find me the best job, because I got the best woman who encourages me. She is the wind beneath my wings. She is this. God made us that way. That's why we're their helpmeet, because we gotta help these brothers in that respect, you know, to encourage them. You know, they get beat down enough as it is, and then we beat them down.
No, keep going. Go ahead, babe. You're right. I was going to piggyback on what you were saying. They get beat down. It's like the man goes out, slays the dragon, you know, twists his arm, puts on his other face, because usually, you know, in a lot of cases, they're reporting into a 9-to-5 or some career choice. And then you come home, and the word talks about, you know, the dripping faucet. You know, a dripping faucet is like a nagging woman. And I'm not saying all women nag. Please hear us when we say this. We're trying to give people help that may have this as a problem. And for me, Sister Dieta, I used to be that person who would, like I said, verbally castrate a guy. I would nag and I would bother. And I didn't realize that I had gleaned that from how I was raised. So for a lot of women, it was what you saw. Your mom was a single mom. And so she would say the phrase that you ain't got to invite me in, but wave your hand if I pass your house. She'd say, I could do bad all by myself. You know, I don't need no man. You know, I mean, if you've heard these things, these are these you took them on. You owned them. And so you became that independent woman. And in some cases, the stereotypical one that neck rolls and does all the other stuff. I'm saying to you, and I hear you're saying to them, Dieta, there's a choice. We have the ability, you know, in James it talks about the tongue, you know, and the tongue, be it such a little bitty muscle, it has so much power because you have to control it. And controlling the tongue is not contingent upon how old you are or how many years you've been a Christian. It's about how you handle the opposition. If challenges come, frustrations come, or somebody cuts you off, or somebody says something to you that you don't like, do you take it personally? Or do you take it purposefully and then end up shifting how you're going to respond? Because unlike a dog, when somebody says something to me, Dieta, I don't have to snap at you because you say something that hurts my feeling. I can pause because God created me that way. But a dog, if you step on its tail, it's going to snap at you, whether you're a friend or a foe, because it doesn't know the difference. Right. You hurt it, and so it's going to have little hurt feelings, and it's going to snap at you. But I'm not a dog. I'm not an animal.
Right.
God created me and you so special that we could actually pause, take a minute, and then respond instead of reacting. And on that note, I'm going to let us take another short break, but I want to remind our listeners that we're on the line today and having a wonderful conversation with Dieta West. She's the author of Get Up. And I also want to remind you all that we have a podcast that's available on the Stitcher app, the iTunes, as well as Google Play. And all you have to do is search for Up, the number 2, Radio, and then search OMG or Omara Gale, and you can tune in, lean in, and listen up on your own during the weekdays, and also share our podcast with your friends and your circles. I believe that the information that gets disseminated not only brings God the glory, but it also helps and encourages and inspires others. So we'll be back, and when we come back, we'll hopefully take some more calls. So get ready to dial in 347-324-5246, 347-324-5246. You'll press the number 1. We'll be right back.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. You're listening to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show, and my special guest tonight is none other than Dieta West, whom I refer to as Mama D, because she got so much wisdom. I'm always growing. Okay, I'd like to shift gears just a tiny bit. You've been married for 38 years. Did you ever think that you would be with one man for 38 years, because you're just fine, and you travel, and you're so sought out. And when you're on stage, you know, people mistake sometimes the anointing for attraction. You know how that goes. And so you are all of that in a box of Jay's potato chips. And so I'm just wondering, did you ever think you would be with one man for 38 years?
You know what? Yes. I really did think that I would be with one man for 38 years. And I wanted, even though I'm married to this man for 38 years, that I'm James, that I'm married to now, but before I married the first husband, and knowing when he proposed and we got married, that's where my heart was even then, that I want to be married to you for the rest of my life. And so I think most women, those brides, it's like literally you feel like till death do us part, and sickness and health, and through the good, the bad, and the ugly, all that, because it is all that what those vows say. It takes work when you are getting ready to make that step and getting ready to say I do, make sure that you know what comes after. Like, I want to know what folks do after the benediction. I want to know what folks do after the bouquet is thrown, after the honeymoon. That's really when the marriage begins. You know, it's beautiful,
yeah.
All the celebration, and some of y'all spending too much money to you could use for other stuff, but that's a whole nother workshop. But when we all had that first marriage, we were hoping mm-hmm. and believing that it was going to be to the end. But along the way, some things got a little crazy, got a little rough, got it really
yeah.
maybe wasn't even in God's plan
that
for you to marry that person, number one.
Yeah.
And then you move forward to where I am now, you know, and being married to this man for 38 years and going through challenges, going through changes, going through and knowing that we had to make it work, me even getting frustrated and on my high horse to say, you know what, maybe we just need a divorce. And the first time I said that word, which was about 10 years in maybe, and he
mm-hmm.
said, we'll never use that word again, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Never use that word again.
It's important to have those kinds of ground rules, though, isn't it, Dieta? If you don't have
mm-hmm.
those kinds of ground rules, then you can talk. People can toss that word around, and it almost becomes the carrot or the impending knife or bullet that'll shatter everything. And what people don't realize is when you're tossing that word around like it's the threat. It's like waving a gun. You know, you don't pull out a gun unless you're going to use the gun, you know? And sometimes people toss that word around, and then when the brother or the sister says, yeah, I do want a divorce, they're all like, oh, because they've been using it as a weapon instead of saying, what can we do to make sure we don't end up in a divorce court, you know? And there are a lot of people that are in struggling and failing marriages and have made a choice to try to work through it. I think that's how
mm-hmm.
God gets the glory out of relationships. I think,
mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean, now don't get me twisted, because I am unfortunately a sister who holds a divorce decree diploma. But I'm mentioning that to say sometimes there's no other way out. You know, so
exactly.
I'm not going to be legalistic and say, oh, you stay in it if you're getting beat, you know, and stay in that marriage, or you stay in it if someone's being reckless with your life and theirs, or completely,
mm-hmm.
you know, disrespectful in ways that you can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting or implying that, but what we are saying is marriage works, and marriage is work. You got to work it like a 9-to-5
mm-hmm.
and not be afraid to put
mm-hmm.
in the overtime, right? That's how you get to 38 years, right?
Exactly, exactly. And you have to understand that you're two different human beings, and that you're now living, that you were dating and you were in two separate houses, and you could just go your
mm-hmm.
way and he would go. But now you're under the same roof. And even though you may have dated each other for 3 or 4 years, once you say I do and you start living together, you're going to find out more things. Even after 38 years, even as the years go by, things that we still sometimes say, oh, I didn't know that. And he'll say, oh, yeah, you didn't know that? Oh, okay. Because sometimes we take some things for granted because we're so busy now trying to just to hold on and to keep it all fresh and alive, that you sometimes overlook some of those things, you know, we take for granted. But you don't want to lose your voice. I wanted to say that, too, on the end of what we were talking about before you went to the last break, when that I know Mara and I both are not saying that we have to sit and not say anything and to be silent and all that. You still have a voice. You don't lose your voice. And again, what you just said too, one of the things you're talking about, we keep saying and dangling that carrot about divorce, and it's like the boy that cried wolf. You know, you just keep saying that, and that one day that man turns around or that woman turns around and says, oh, okay. And then you are shocked, and then you're like, well, I didn't mean it. Oh, you've said it too many times, so you must mean it. So I don't want to hear. Yeah, so they walk away. But yeah, so those 38 years of work, 38 years of
looking beyond each other's faults and seeing what we need, just like God looks beyond our faults and see what we need. That means praying, which is God has been the super glue beyond, you know, in our marriage that has kept it like that, to respect each other, to trust each other. I cannot, you might get away with a whole bunch, but if I can't trust you, that is the deal breaker for me. And he knew that going into this. And then that jealousy thing, jealousy is like a cancer.
It is.
I will not live like that, you know, and my husband knows that kind of in the beginning, not when we were dating, but in the beginning of the marriage, there was, and I don't know if it was a jealousy or just, I'm not sure. Yeah, it was jealousy. And I was married. I mean, you know, he was a pastor of church. We were in Hawaii, and I was trying to, you know, deal with the women ministry. And every once in a while, I'd have to take one of sisters would go out, and she wanted to talk. But if it was a certain time, and I said I was going to be home at 9, and at 9 o'clock, if I wasn't at home, he was calling the restaurant, and they said, well, we don't really have a paging system. I need you. She's wearing a fuchsia blouse, and I need you to find her. Oh, yeah, that was in the beginning of, that was in the first 3 years of our, and I'm like, oh, no, this is not, I'm trying to be this first lady and trying to do things right, and you calling after me, wondering where I am, and I said I was going to be able, my sister still has a letter to this day, 38 years later, where I wrote her when I was living in Hawaii. That was the first church he pastored, and we were there for 3 years, where she said she remembered. I said in that letter, I feel like I'm on the Isle of Patmos. It was like I felt I'm drowning here on this island in Hawaii because I didn't know. But there were some things that God had to do to flip that thing and turn it around. Because I was about to get on the next thing smoking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But it took work.
That's the truth. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. That's the world in which we live in. You know, we have to be pliable and flexible. There's something you said that I wanted to piggyback on. It was about, and it reminded me of a mirror. When you're married to someone, you really get a chance to see yourself in the marriage. The marriage brings out the things that are inside of you. So you end up seeing yourself more clearly. Your spouse is the only person who can actually hit your buttons each and every time in some cases. They have the ability to hit without missing some of your major trigger points. But that's good because God wants to bring it out so that he could perfect it, so he can perfect you. And I also want to – I know there are some people on the line who may want to call in. I mean, they're already on the line, but if you press 1, you can ask a question. If you're out there and you press 1 and you have a question, we've got a few minutes left. So if you'd like to ask Dieta a question or myself, we're available to you. We'd love to – have you join the conversation. Dieta, you are always such a wealth of information, and we have less than 10 minutes to go. I don't know where our hour goes when you and I speak, but every time we talk, it evaporates. It's like sand or water between our fingers. It always seems to escape. But I do want to talk a little bit about some projects that you currently you're working on, and one you've got coming up. You've got a, I believe, an indie independent film called Breakthrough. Charmaine Lee, I believe, is the person who she wrote it, correct? Or did she direct it?
No, Charmaine Lee is she's directing it. But yes, Charmaine Lee, and she is an actress and a producer. She's an amazing, amazing woman, but she's directing it. It was written by Corey Crumley, and it was one of the executive producers who is a dear friend. Her name is Chris Scott. Amazing film all about, we're talking about domestic abuse, and it's just, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to you on that role. And then I understand you've got another production that you're going to be doing in about a month called Sisters for Life, right?
Yes. Sorry.
Can you share a little bit about that project?
Yes, Sisters for Life was written by, not written, I'm sorry, was written by Nathaniel, who I need to have all my stuff right. Anyway, I know it's starring Michelle V. She was on Fatal Attraction this past Monday. It aired on TV one, and she's an amazing actress, and she's the one that really reached out to me and cast me in the role of being her mother. Sister for Life is yet another kind of a cheating. Ooh, I can't tell you everything because when you see it, well, it's about two girls that end up finding out that they're involved with the same man and they're both pregnant. And and it's really deep. You can only imagine what goes from there because they become friends and it's a whole nother story. So that's a great movie.
Sisters
for Life. And then a wonderful play that we'll start rehearsing on called 13 Women, and it's part two of a play that, in fact, the writer and director L.A. Holtz is out of Chicago, and the 13 women.
Wow.
They're 13 women. One is church hurt, fearful, single mother, abortion, sexual abuse. These are all the names of these women and the challenges of what they go through. I play the narrator in that film. And then last but not least, we have the Last Time movie, which we did last year. It's going to be premiering on Aspire TV. And it also just got selected as one of the an official selection for the Bronze Lynn Film Festival, which comes up next month.
Nice.
Yeah. That's starring Reese Odom and Wardell Richardson and myself. I play another mother. I'll be another mother.
Yes, you will.
So that's it real quick, you know, and everything I do is it's up to me. I know we're with Up to Me Radio, but what we do in life, it's up to you.
Yes, it is. It's up to you. Can't nobody do you better than you. So on that note, Deetta, I'd love for you to just share with the with our listeners your social media handles and or website so that they'll know how to follow you. And I really appreciate you being a guest on this show, not once, but coming back to do part two. I thank you for your transparency, your honesty, and as always, your rich, juicy nuggets of information. You always help me grow by leaps and bounds. So if you'll share that information with our audience, I'll do a little closeout.
Okay. So for Facebook, it's my name, Deetta, D as in David, E-E-T-T-A. West, W-E-S-T. So you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, just putting in my name. That's it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys have been listening to OMG, the O. Mara Gayle Radio Show, and I'd love to continue this conversation with you on social media. I can be found at Mara Gayle, that's M-A-U-R-A-G-A-L-E, no Y, no I, that's at Mara Gayle on Instagram, Twitter, as well as YouTube, and then on Facebook, Mara Gayle, because somebody had my name before I actually ended up getting on Facebook, and you can also visit my website to reach out to me, to book, or to support some of my other ministry projects. I'm the author of Beyond Blessed. It's an autobiographical page-turner, and it breaks down how to identify the distractions in your life so that you can more fully and completely walk in purpose. I also have a spoken word CD entitled Ear Candy. It's a Christian neo soul flavor kind of deal, and they're both available online along with info about our film, Stem the Movement. It is now available, and we've just been accepted into two film festivals, and we're going to be doing some rollout and announcements of that. You can go to stemthemovement.org or just go to my website, maragayle.com, and find out more information on that. And after the show airs, the episodes become a podcast, and it's available to listeners on demand at uptomeradio.com. But more importantly, if you check out our podcast, we'd love for you to visit us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. All you need to do is look for Up to Me, and then look for OMG or O. Mara Gayle, and you'll find it. Share our show with your friends. We really appreciate in advance if you've been blessed, you've been encouraged, you've been inspired, or you've been reminded or how to better cope with the situation or what you should really be focused on. Take the time and share this podcast. Share this story. Of course, I was with Deetta West tonight. You can also catch her part one on one of our previous podcasts. Just go to one of the apps and tune in, lean in, and listen up. I'll be on air next Thursday. That'll be on July the 27th, and I'll be doing my monthly relationship chats with Brother Rael, I should say Dr. Rael. And so I encourage you to tune in, lean in, and listen up as we do relationship chats with Rael. It's called Keeping It Real with Rael, and he's a neuroscientist, and we break down that thing to the marrow, everything that has to do with relationships. So until the next time, I pray you're blessed. I pray you're encouraged. I pray you're inspired. And most importantly, I pray that because you have two ears and one mouth, that you take double the time to listen to what God, Daddy, the Holy Spirit has to say to you. Because guess what I know for sure? He has great and purposeful things in store for you. And all you need to do is dial your frequency, set it to the master, and the master will minister to you on what's next. And I'm excited because whatever's coming next, we all want to experience it. God bless you and have a great day.
Can't wait to give you the answers to the questions you've been wanting. Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursdays at 7 o'clock p.m.